Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando and cities thereabout. We thank God for you for being there today. Those of you that be there on a continued basis, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And we send lots of love and hugs to you today, to letting you know that we love you and we really, really do love you. If you were here nearby, we give you a great big hug to show you just how we just love you. Yes, we are the love people. You ought to come on to Florida so you can meet us love people. Praise God, praise God. God is good to us, and we thank God for being here today. We thank God for life, health, and strength. We thank him all just for the sun that's shining and these 80-something degrees, you know. We just thank God today. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, you know, we can't be happy no more, huh? It's either too cold or too hot. We can't make our minds up, can we? Isn't that just like people? Praise God. Isn't that just like people? We either want it hot or cold, and we don't know what we want. But I thank God for the sun that's shining right now. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I thank God for you most of all. So here is our own Sister Diane. Praise.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Father God, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords. Thanking you, Father God, for this day, Lord, Father God. This day, Lord, Father God, that you woke us up, Father God, clothed in our right mind today, Lord. We say thank you, Lord, Father, as we come before you, Lord, giving you all honor, glory, and praise that's due unto your holy name. And come, Father God, preparing, Lord, Father God, ourselves, Lord, Father God. We ask you, Lord, Father, to forgive us, Lord, Father God, for any sin, Lord, Father God, that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, and in actions, Lord, Father God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, for being that merciful and forgiving God, Lord, Father. Father God, we ask you, Lord, Father God, to touch each and every person, Lord, Father God, upon this prayer list, Lord, Father God. Father God, you know them name by name, Lord, Father God. Father God, you know what they need in this time right now, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for healing, Lord, Father God. Father God, you said, by your stripes we are healed, Lord, Father God. We're standing upon your word, Lord, Father God, that every stripe, Lord, Father God, that your son took for us, Lord, Father God, that we are healed, Lord, Father God. Father God, we thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for touching bodies, touching hearts, touching the spirit man, and encouraging today, Lord, Father God. Father God, we speak to those today, Lord, Father God, that feel that they're not worthy, Lord, Father God. We speak encouragement to them right now, Lord. We speak love unto them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. And letting them know, Lord, Father God, that if no one else loved them, Lord, Father God, that you love them, Lord, Father God, that you send your only begotten son, Lord, Father God, to die on the cross for them, Lord, Father. And, Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father. Father God, we hold to you, Lord, Father God. Isaiah Williams, Lord, Father God. Marie Rhymes. Pamela. DJ, Lord, Father God, touch his body, Lord, Father God. Father God, with the doctors giving up, Lord, Father God. Father God, we know, Lord, Father God, that you have the last say, Lord, Father God. Touch his body right now, Lord, Father. Father God, we thanking you, Lord Father God, for continually, Lord Father God, touching Cindy's body, Lord Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we pray for those today, Lord Father God, that do dialysis, Lord Father God. We pray, Lord Father God, that you continue to give them strength, Lord Father. We thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for whatever organ that they need, Lord Father God, that they don't have to do dialysis anymore, Lord Father. And we know, Lord Father God, you can grow one, Lord Father God, because you are God, Lord Father. We thanking you right now, Lord Father. Continue, Lord Father God, to touch Deacon with it right now, Lord Father God. Continue to touch Prophet Hunt right now, Lord. Continue, Lord, to touch Cheryl White, Lord. Denise McGrath, Lord Father God. Continue to touch them and strengthen them right now, Lord Father. And all others, Lord Father. We come against cancer right now, Lord Father God. Dry it up right now from the root cause right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father God, those, Lord Father God, that are suffering with it, Lord Father God, let them seek your face, Lord Father God. Have mercy today on them right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord Father God. Father God, they go through chemo, Lord Father God. Father God, touch their bodies, Lord Father God. Touch their families, Lord Father God. Father God, I hold to you, Lord Father God, Gary Dunkley, Lord Father God. Father God, touch his mind, body, and soul right now, Lord Father God. Let your will be done, Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father God, I ask you, Lord Father God, to touch each and every person listening, Lord Father God, to this broadcast right now, Lord Father God, and to a later date, Lord Father God. Father God, bless them, Lord Father God. You know what they need, Lord. And Father God, let them, Lord Father God, be touched, Lord Father God, by something, Lord Father God, they heard and they broadcast, Lord Father God, that will make them want to change their life right now, Lord Father. Letting them know, Lord Father God, that it's not too late, Lord Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast, Lord Father God. I cancel all assignment, Lord Father God, that was sent towards this broadcast or anyone speaking on this broadcast, Lord Father God. To hinder it right now, Lord Father God, we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father God, I ask you, Lord Father God, to decrease Pastor Dungy, Lord Father God. Decrease Apostle Porter, Lord. Decrease Deacon Michael, Lord Father God. And you increasing them, Lord Father God, as they bring forth the word today, Lord Father God. Father God, keep them covered under the blood, Lord Father. And Father God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, praise God. We all want to send our prayers and condolences to the Graham family. Well known, everyone know, I know there's not very few people that don't know Reverend Billy Graham. So since he died, you know, this morning, we send prayers to the family and everything. Okay, you're right. So we do today. Praise God. And we're going to kind of dedicate this program to them also today. I don't know how the program going to come out, but we're going to dedicate it to them anyway. You know, because we love him and we've listened to him over the years and he's blessed all of us one way or another. And we thank God for him being here this long. Amen, and his family also. Let me read. Now, you can call now, 347-857-3925. You can call and, you know, say your greetings to them also. I had it after our evangelist here and prophetess and pastor after she finished, you know, and all, you can do that. We'll leave you a little room just to, you know, say something about that, all right? Okay, let me give you a little word we have here today. Faith sanctifies any place, renders its climate bracing to weakness, its air luminous to doubt-dimmed eyes. Continents sink, empires disintegrate, but faith and the universe of heroic minds abide forever. Okay, it will abide forever. So take that with you for today and hold on to it. All right, and we thank God for you. All right, right here and now, we thank God for Deacon Mike, of course, being here with us. And most of all, we thank God for you, you and you. I just want you to know again that we love you. Yes, we do. And, of course, this lovely lady that we are about to present to you at this time, you should know her by now. If you don't, we'll help you know some more. Amen. She's a lovely person. I just love her. Bless God. I really do. And now I'm not in love with the people, so don't get crazy. Okay, I just love her. You know, some people just have that spirit that you love them. And you know what it basically is? The Christ in them, isn't it? It's the Christ in them that really, if Christ don't make you fall in love with people, something wrong with you. Praise God. I've come to that conclusion, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to hold you any longer. We're going to let you, those of you that's sitting on the edge of your seats, okay, yeah, this is good. Oh, yeah, she has really blessed us thus far, haven't she? Mm-hmm. And we know she's not going to disappoint us now. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. I know you're right. Amen. None other than Diane Dungey. Congregation.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good morning, good morning, all you beautiful sisters and brothers out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you today. I thank God for waking each and every one of us up this morning in our right minds, allowing us another chance to make whatever we did wrong to make it right today. I thank Minister Diane for that beautiful prayer, and I stand in agreement with all that she has petitioned to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank Bishop and Apostle Porter for sharing their platform with me and trusting me with you, their radio audience. I hope that everyone had a beautiful weekend, a God-favored week. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto Jesus, our awesome Redeemer. I pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I had an awesome time with all of you last week. We want to thank all of you that called in and participated. Some of you, Brother Greg, Deacon Michael, Elder Doris Patterson, and for all of you that will call in today to give a prayer request, give some feedback, even ask a question. Just click the number one on your phone, and you will be allowed to speak once you receive the go-ahead from our host. Hallelujah. God is faithful. He loves you. As I said last week, this message on unforgiveness is not just for you, but it's hitting me in the gut as well. To recap, on day one, we spoke on the pain of unforgiveness, and that it was much easier to believe in Jesus than to forgive those who mistreat us, and that Jesus required for us to both believe in him and have the faith to forgive those who mistreat us. We learned that unforgiveness was a mountain, and unforgiveness is a sin. It has some serious negative powers that it unleashes into our lives. Unforgiveness is like having spiritual cancer, because it grows and festers and multiplies, and it can impact the lives of our family, friends, coworkers, anyone that comes in our pathway. If we choose to forgive, God will deal with those who hurt us. The act of forgiving is our seed of obedience to God's word. Forgiveness also releases God to do his work in us. We'll become much more happier and feel better physically when we're not filled with the poison of unforgiveness. On day two, we talked about the punishment of unforgiveness. And we read in Matthew 18:34-35 that the Lord was very angry and delivered the man to his tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall our Heavenly Father do unto us if we, from our heart, do not forgive every one of our brothers and sisters their trespasses. Now, the tormentors it was talking about are demonic spirits who specifically attack the mind and hearts of those who are bitter. If we persist in unforgiveness, we open the door for demons to harass and attack us. Demons are considered a form of evil spirits that can influence human beings in many ways. Keeping the spirit of unforgiveness ruling our lives is unwise, because when we open the door for demons to harass and attack us in our minds and our hearts, one can become demonically influenced, oppressed, and those that don't know the Lord can even become possessed when they choose to live a life of unforgiveness. Now we're here today on day three. Day three, we're going to talk about forgiving from your heart. Amen. Forgiving from your heart. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? For any spiritual truth to be effective, it must take root in our heart. If it isn't rooted in our heart, it would never bear fruit in our lives. Now, we need more than intellectual assent. We need heart knowledge when it comes to the kingdom of God. Even Satan knows that Jesus is Lord and that he was resurrected on the third day. Satan has intellectual assent to the facts. However, Satan certainly doesn't believe in Jesus from his heart. To believe in the Lord is not only to think that he is, but also to do his word. It is our duty, especially those of us who have received forgiveness from God, to forgive our brethren. If we do not, we can justly question whether or not God has forgiven us, and we can expect the same severity from him which we show unto our brothers and sisters. Wow, that's a big piece of pie right there. God's going to do the same to us the way we do to our brothers and sisters. So we got to really watch out how we treat people. Say we attempt to forgive and it doesn't work. It doesn't work because we are forgiving from our head and not from our heart. However, all heart knowledge begins with head knowledge that is committed to the process of becoming a reality in our lives. So what I'm saying is, we may not forgive the first time we attempt to, but if we wake up every morning and before we go to sleep at night, praying for and forgiving the person or persons that hurt us, eventually the desire to forgive will go from our head and enter into our heart. Our brain communicates forgiveness to our heart, and one day we will realize that the sting of pain, rejection, fear, abandonment, revenge, and resentment is gone. If we are the offended party, the Bible says we must forgive. If we are the offender, the one that causes the problem, the Bible says you must be reconciled with your brother or your sister. In the passage of Matthew 5:23-26, Jesus gives us four commands to obey if we know a brother or sister in Christ is offended at us. It says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and as you stand there, you remember that your brother has something against you, or you have something against them, I'm just adding that part, leave your offering there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. The prison we're talking about is a prison of pain and rejection that we feel when we're walking in unforgiveness. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent, until you have fully forgiven from your heart. You are going to stay in the prison of unforgiveness. To break it down where you live, let me tell you this way. There are four things that Jesus tells us to do in the process of seeking restoration in a relationship when we are the offender. Now, we ain't going to talk about what the other person did. We're going to focus on ourselves today. We're going to talk about how we can get restoration in a relationship when we are the one that did the wrong. The first thing we have to do is stop. Stop. Leave your offering at the altar. This means broken relationships can block our walk with God. Don't press further into spiritual pursuits until we have a sincere effort to be reconciled. This doesn't mean we have to be at the peace with all men before we pursue God. It means that God isn't completely pleased with our worship when we aren't concerned about broken relationships. God isn't completely pleased with our worship when we have the sin of unforgiveness in our heart and are not trying to do anything about it. Our efforts at restoration please God, and it makes our offerings and worship meaningful. Remember, it was Jesus himself who brought forth this important beatitude in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5:9, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Wouldn't you want to be called the son of God today? Well, make peace. We have to make peace. Whether we are the offender or the one that has been offended, we still have to make peace. And if the offense rises to the level of sin, we must take the initiative to go to the person privately, just the two of us. Don't wait for the person to come to you. Often they will never take the initiative. They may be even blissfully unaware that they've even hurt us. Forgiveness often involves a decision rather than the feeling. If we wait until we feel like forgiving, it may take a long, long time. Sometimes it won't happen at all. Just as loving your spouse is a decision, not necessarily a feeling, because our feelings as humans go up and down. So forgiveness involves a very important decision at a time when we may not have any inclination within ourselves to forgive. Even if we don't feel like it, forgive anyway. Yeah, it hurts, and it takes a lot of humility to forgive. But if we want to be godlike, we have to forgive. The second step in this process is to go. Take the initiative in the process of reconciliation. Prayerfully and peacefully seek to heal those relationships in which unresolved conflicts exist. Swallow your pride and overcome your fears. Go to that person. Don't wait for them to come to you. Now, I'm not saying just go to anybody that there's been offense. Let the Lord lead you. Let him tell you, because sometimes we can go to a person and they don't even realize that we said anything or they said anything, and then that's when we're going to start a whole thing all over again. So let God lead you. If it's something that we did and we know that mentioning to the other person that's not aware of it could cause a bigger problem, we forgive within our heart and we ask God to forgive us to prevent an even bigger escalation of the situation. That person may not even accept your act of forgiveness if you come to them, but that's okay. At least you got the monkey of unforgiveness off your back, and the devil can't bring it back on you. The devil can't keep you in a prison of pain. And God is pleased when we seek out our brothers and sisters to ask them to forgive us. Our attitude also is very important. We should go in the spirit of gentleness, seeking the truth in love, with compassion, sympathy, and mercy. We should not be self-righteous, harsh, or condemning. If the person listens and accepts what we've said and stops their sin, there's nothing more we need to do. We want our brother or sister. If the person won't listen and rejects what we said, then we might have to take one or two others with us and ask them to be witnesses to the conversation. Our model for this process is God himself. He goes after his sinning children to bring them back, and he uses the church as a means to do that. If a person still refuses to listen, tell it to the church. Sometimes you might have to get up in front of the church and, you know, just repent for whatever you've done, ask them to be in agreement with you that there will be reconciliation or forgiveness on both ends. It's extremely rare that it will get to this level. And usually this is reserved for a church leader who has had a significant moral failure, not just a congregation in the church, but usually this is a leader or a minister in the body of Christ that maybe has committed a really bad sin, fornicating, maybe messing around on the significant other, the spouse, or even taking money from the church that they know did not belong in their pocket. And they want to, and it's really eating them up. So they're going to have to go in front of the church and confess their sin, repent, and ask for forgiveness, and then let God do the rest. Pastor Steve Krantz warned in a sermon about something called triangling. Triangling is when you go to somebody else first instead of going directly to the person that you sinned against or they sinned against you. This is our human tendency to go to somebody else and say, hey, did you know what so-and-so did to me? And then we unload and dump the truck in that person's lap. Then it gets passed around. Do you know triangling can quickly turn into gossip, which leads to dysfunctional families and dysfunctional churches? If we start telling other people about what we should go to the person that actually was involved in the situation, but we decide to go to somebody else instead, that in itself is a sin because we're gossiping. Triangling, as it's called. Number three, the third prophet, reconcile. Once we have located our brother or sister, we need to reconcile with them. The word reconcile in the Greek means to thoroughly change one's mind, to renew friendship. And even though we cannot control another person's response towards us, we can do everything in our part to heal the relationship and trust God to work the rest of it out. Number four is to return. After reconciliation, return to God and spiritual pursuit. We will find an atmosphere of renewed spiritual vitality and freshness when we have been obedient to pursue restoration. Again, the four steps in the process of restoration with a brother or sister is to stop, go, reconcile, and return. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So that person was just totally downright, outright, not wanting to accept your apology, accept you coming to them and asking for forgiveness. They don't want to accept the reconciliation process. They don't want to be reconciled. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to be in your presence. They don't want you in their space. There's nothing you can do about that. You just have to trust God that he's got it taken care of. So Jesus gave us some instructions about how to deal with a fellow believer who sins against us. Jesus did not say if your brother irritates or offends you in a minor way that you confront them in this manner. There's another word in the Christian life that covers irritations coming from difficult people. That word is forbearance. We are called to bear with one another. We put up with difficult people, the grace growers around us, often without saying anything. Sometimes they can drive us to our knees if they don't make us crazy. Now, they haven't just committed this big sin of offense where we have to confront them. We just have to recognize, you know, their personalities, their attitudes about things, and just bear it. Just bear it, put up with it, pray for them, and keep on being in their life. So the question is asked, why should I forgive? The answer is because God expects us to, and because we need forgiveness every day ourselves. When we forgive the person that wounded us, they're not left off the hook. We simply take them off our hook and we place them on God's hook. We relinquish our right to get even and give all those rights over to God. Excuse me. He has a better arsenal than we do anyway. There's a day coming when God will settle the score completely, and all sin and injustice in this world will be settled by God. But there won't be healing in this world until there is healing in our heart, until we can forgive from our heart, not from our mind, but from our heart. It begins right here in our heart. Because of the grace God has shown each one of us, we can begin to extend grace to each other. Because of the grace God has shown you and me, we can be an instrument in his process of healing, one heart at a time. Amen. Hallelujah. I found an awesome prayer on forgiveness, and I would like to pray it for all of us today and all those that are connected with us in any way. I'm praying this prayer for myself as well. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those that are sick and shut in today. I pray a special prayer of healing over our apostle, and I dispatch the ministering angels of healing to go to her body, her esophagus, her larynx, and every area of her body that needs a touch from you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for God, for being her healer today, her Jehovah Jireh today, her Jehovah Shalom today. Lord God, I thank you, her Jehovah Rapha, her awesome, awesome healer today. And we thank you in advance, Lord God, for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do, and all that you've already done for our apostle, our bishop, Minister Diane, Deacon Michael, Pastor Sharon, all those, Lord God, that are connected to them. And Lord God, I thank you for being our teacher, our Savior, our God. You have commanded us to love others as we love ourselves. And Lord God, it's so often easy to see the faults in others before we see their outside and we compare it against what's inside of us. We have inflated our goodness and our importance in our own mind, but have judged others for the smallest shortcomings, and we are filled with foolish pride. So, Lord God, I ask you to forgive us for walking in pride. Forgive us for seeing others' faults, for not taking the beam out of our eyes before we take it out of our brother. We vow by this prayer that we will strive to follow your word, Lord God, to forgive all who have injured us, to turn loose the petty resentments and grudges that poison the world with hatred, and to overlook the fault of others. We ask, Lord God, to be pardoned wherever we have done injury to our brothers and sisters who are your beloved children, even though they, like us, are sinners. Help us, Lord God, to forgive persons for hurting our feelings. Help us to see the greatness in them and to love them in the way that you do. Help us to relinquish our anger that we've been experienced so that we can walk in the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help us to heal from this incident and to release any bitterness that we may be harboring. Lord God, give us guidance in this situation, Holy Spirit, so that we can approach it in a way that is most pleasing to you. Help us, God, to do your will. And we vow, when we fall short of your commandment, to seek out and confess our wrongdoing. Forgive us, Holy Ghost. Forgive us, Lord God, and help us to ever amend our lives. This we pray, Lord God, with faith in the grace you have promised us. This we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're going to do and regarding forgiveness. Thank you, Father God, that whenever we feel that slight bit of sting or anger, Father, that we will immediately say, I forgive. I forgive such and such, even that walked out on me. I forgive you for mistreating me. I forgive you for talking about me. I forgive you for purposely hurting me. I forgive you for turning your back on me. I forgive you. I forgive you for taking things away from me that didn't belong to you. I forgive 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 you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I thank you for listening and being part of this broadcast. Tomorrow is the fourth and last part of this series, The Power of Unforgiveness. Part four, I will share with you the threefold course, the threefold process of genuine forgiveness. Thank you for listening and being a part of this broadcast. And I pray that something that I said today would have touched your heart, would maybe have convicted you in some area where you will immediately go to your brother or sister and ask for forgiveness. May God be with you. May you continue to be blessed. May you have a blessed, prosperous, and peaceful week. And I pray that you keep standing. Amen. And I now turn it back over into the hands of our beautiful, healed, awesome host, Apostle Porter.
Thank you. Is it on? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And blessings go with you as you travel over the highways and byways where you have to go today. So we thank you again for that wonderful word. It came from our own Pastor Diana. I think I got it right this time. Tunji, praise God. Amen. I think it was beautiful, wasn't it? Amen. You know, I was listening for more, you know. Praise God. But, you know, that means I'm greedy for the word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Especially when somebody brings it so eloquently. You know, she really does. She's a classy lady all the way. Praise God. Amen. Now, anybody might have something to say on that, ask a question or say anything at this time on what she's already saying. Praise God. Anyone? If you don't, you can mind if you got a question or something you would say. Oh, he said, praise God. You know, I want to ask just someone, they think about it, they can call in and ask whatever they want to say. I was just sitting here thinking about something, like I was thinking about Jezebel. Remember Jezebel, right? Y'all do remember her, right? Now, she had a chance to make things right, but she did. It's according to Revelation, right? But now, tell me something. Could you forgive anyone like that, like Jezebel? All y'all don't answer at the same time now. Just punch that one in and let me know. Would you or could you possibly forgive someone like Jezebel, like a person that was very doing evil things and controlling and what have you? Would you? Could you? Minister Diane? Hallelujah. Jesus took it up over in Revelation about Jezebel, okay? And listen, when you begin to read what he said over concerning Jezebel, and why was this spirit and this person with this spirit able to accomplish all that they done? Huh? What does that tell you? Huh? If you don't want to answer no question, this question now, what does that tell you? Hmm? Listen what he says in the 20th verse of the second chapter of Revelation. What does he say? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Because you did what? You suffer that woman, that person, to do this. Now, do you think you should have forgiveness? The person should have the forgiveness too? Because they suffered her to do that? Well, they allowed her. They allowed her to do that. You know what we do? We let people commit sin, and we know they're committing sin, and we don't tell them they're wrong.
Okay, so we're just as guilty.
Okay. You see, we're just as guilty as they are. All right? So therefore, now we got two got to repent. See? We have two to repent. See? Now, you say, but we like to say but a lot, you know. And so she just took over. We allow things to come into our life a lot of times. And then we don't repent and ask God to forgive us for allowing it either, you see. We do this so many times in our lives. When you sit down and think about it, okay, it requires some really, how you call it, looking into yourself. It requires you looking into yourself. I know we always say, well, if I done anything to you, forget the if. You know, don't use the if. Just say, Lord, you know, I done so-and-so and so and so-and-so. You know you did it. You know you did it. So don't go ifing it like that. But get it right, huh? You cause a person to do some things, commit some sin, another. When you cause them to do that, you got this much sin. So you cannot throw bricks at them. Okay? We oftentimes want to throw some stones at other people. You know, we want to low rate them, put them down, and everything, cause this, that, and the other. See? So you cannot just do that without examining your own self. See what you have come up short. See? And when you come up short, then you get yourself straightened out. See? What did Jesus tell them, people at the Samaritan woman? He said, you without sin cast the first stone? Huh? Now, no matter what the person has done, can you forgive them? Hmm? Now, I can guarantee you some people can do some wicked stuff. And it takes a very strong person. I remember years ago, it just came back to me just this minute, that my first pastor in New York there said that it takes a strong man or woman, but mostly we say men, because men don't like to say they sorry too much. You know, very few. They got to really be full of Jesus, you know, to go there. Say, that takes a very, you want to see a real strong man, a man's man, it's when a man can say he's sorry. And I say, I had never thought about that, you know, one way or another. But think about it. People of today don't like to say they're sorry. They don't say they're sorry, you know, so therefore they're not sorry about anything, are they? Mm-hmm. Because they don't say they're sorry.
And they act accordingly, don't they? Hmm? But Jesus is not like that, huh? What did he say in the 21st verse of Revelation? And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. In other words, he gave her time, huh? Time. And what is time, Michael? Time. It's nothing but continuous space. Hmm? Time. He gave her time, all right? And she repented not. So he could only do what he had to do when a person don't repent. And that goes for the people of today, huh? If they don't repent. I know we don't have to talk about it, talk about them or nothing like that. You can go to the person quietly. He gave you a way with that, didn't he? He says that what is the preacher or whoever to do if you're in a congregation and something go wrong there and you hear the, you know, you're always hearing stuff. And the thing is, what are you to do? Go to them quietly and ask them, you know. I have done that, you know, to a person. I went to a person individually, and they kind of offend me somewhat, and I didn't feel like walking around the rest of my life with nothing in my heart against them. So I did. I went to them. I thought that was the Christian thing to do. And talk to them about it. And, of course, they denied everything and all of that, you know, and everything. So I had to get that stuff straight and off of me and just throw it back on them, so to speak. But they denied it. Well, I'm through with it, okay? I'm through with it now. I'm the other party, and I don't know, you know, nothing about that. But God have us in these conditions, these situations where we have to show, are we people of integrity? We have character, And God don't make no mess. You know that, don't you? God don't make no mess. No, he don't. And we are people, the Christian walk is a walk of integrity and character and humility. We should walk like that, you see. He walked that way, and we should. He was willing to forgive Jezebel after what he did to his people. Do you see? He was going to forgive her, but she didn't want to accept it. Do you see? Huh? The Samaritan woman was totally different, wasn't she? When he met at the well and told all about her sins, the day we tell somebody about talking about their sin, they ready to shoot you. See, you don't tell me nothing. You sin, you know. You try to tell them the good news, what you found out about Jesus, how Jesus will forgive you for all your sins. And you try to help them get free, delivered, and they don't want to hear it. Why you don't want to hear something that is affecting other people? Huh? When you sin, you affect other people, huh? It's like you're being Jezebel and you're doing what? You want them to take a sacrifice of idols. You want them to take the same thing. You want them to do what you do, you see? And you're going to cause them to meet hell, you know, you see? Instead of we supposed to tell them, talk to them about these things. Tell them, say, listen, according to the scripture now, this and that and other is sin. Well, I don't sin. You know, now I don't know what to say when you say I don't sin. You say, excuse me, all have sinned and come short of the glory. We all have sinned. But the difference is you might have come out of sin. You heard the word, didn't you? And you repented. See, you heard the word and you repented. Now we got those hard heads. We have those that don't want to listen. And you can't force a person to listen now. all you can go to them as humble as you know how and just talk to them and tell them what thus saith the Lord. And then leave it alone. Let God take care of the rest. You understand? You see how it goes. And some people say, oh, well, I didn't do that, you know. And you have some witnesses somewhere, and they still ain't said nothing. You see? Now, so the Bible tells you, what did he do to Jezebel? He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her. Oh, he put all y'all in the same bucket, didn't he? He put them all together. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, he is merciful. This, oh, my God. Ain't God merciful? Now, that, because Jezebel, boy, everybody talks about Jezebel and the sin she committed and how she did her poor husband and everything. You know, all of this. How she killed all the, she called herself trying to kill all the prophets of God, and God forgave her. He can forgive the worstest of sinners. But you're going to have to repent yourself. You're going to have to ask him to forgive you for your sin, not somebody else's. You always, somebody always want to throw the pass the buck around. You know, well, it wasn't me, it was you. You know, and you know you did it. You want to still go that way. But you don't pass the buck, whether you are right or wrong. You don't pass the buck. Just say, Lord, forgive me. And then you got to turn around and say, forgive me for my unforgiveness, where I wouldn't forgive nobody that asked me to forgive them. Because sometimes we are so stubborn, hard-hearted, that we don't hear. See? We think we perfect. Okay? The problem is we got more people in the church house today that think they are perfect. They're not perfect. You either doing it to somebody and somebody doing it to you. See? They hurt you, you hurt them, you hurt somebody else. And the beat goes on. It's like a chain reaction. And all this need forgiveness. Look how many people you got right now. Let's just say, namely, we can jump off with four people. You heard one, they heard another, and they heard another. And then the beat goes on. See? Now, that's a lot of repenting, and forgiveness needs to be done in this time, do you see? Do you get the picture? What I'm trying to get to us, don't be so quick to say, I ain't did nothing, I ain't did nothing. You probably did, but they probably, you know, some people just don't pay. I don't pay no mind no more. I used to, you know, cry my little eyes out. I don't cry no more because I feel like sometimes people may say something, you know, talking so fast and, you know, just lip off at the, just go, and nothing happens, and they don't know what they say. That is a possibility for a person, you know. But if you come and tell them, say, you said thus and so, and that kind of offend me, now, that in itself should tell you, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. What's wrong with doing that? Instead of, I ain't said nothing. You know, but you're on the other end, do you see? And we do these things, and we just dig a ditch deeper and fall in it, don't we? I ain't heard you call now, 347-857-3925, 347-857-3925, and you still haven't called. And let me know, you know, if you don't want to talk about the unforgiveness and you don't want nobody to say, I don't know how to ask for forgiveness now. Now, if you got somebody's secret behind somewhere seen, you need to ask that too, right? Hey, how about your pastor? I bet you never thought about that, did you? To ask your pastor to forgive you. Mm-hmm. You didn't see? You, well, honey, I don't know why my pastor do that. And my pastor liked so-and-so better than they like me. And my pastor, she don't do this. And my pastor don't do that. You need to ask the pastor to forgive you. Huh? Because that's talking a little too much about nothing. See? And a lot of times we dramatize stuff. We kind of add words to it. So you do need to go and say something to your pastor, make it good with your pastor, and try to get things covered there, you see, under the blood. Get it covered under the blood, see? And you need to do these things. We got these things in us, and we just don't know how to get rid of these burdens we carry. And we're all so heavy. I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? Carrying some heavy load that you shouldn't carry. You need to repent. You need to find out what else. I got unforgiveness in my heart. I can see you don't trust nobody after you've been hurt real bad. I can see that. But even that, you've got to get rid of that. I didn't say go out and be buddy-buddy with them. You know, you ain't got to go be buddy-buddy with them, but you speak to the people. Wave your hand. Do something. See, let them know you're not holding anything against them. You see, you do that. Talk to them. Just say, hi, and keep on going, which whatever you got to do. Or you will be held responsible, too. See, Jezebel ain't just take us. Herself to hell. She took some people with her. Those that followed the same stuff she did. Now, what if everybody is mad with everybody else? We wouldn't have no place for joy, would we? And the Bible say leap for joy. You can't leap for joy if you loaded down. You loaded down more than an ox that carries heavy burdens. See? You got all these things on you. You need to release. Right now, you need to release. You need a release right now. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm asking you to call right now. We're going to pray for you to be released from that burden of unforgiveness and whatever else burden you're holding on to you. You're holding on, and let's say it's latching on to you because, see, what happened? You're a Christian. And how did you get all this heavy stuff on you? And you know better. You know what the scriptures say. Most of you can read and do read. Huh? So if you know that you have space now to repent, this is what Jesus said. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Now, we're giving you space. I ain't saying you commit fornication now. Don't get it wrong. All right, I'm saying whatever you did, whatever, I don't know, don't need to know what you did. But the fact is that you need a release from whatever it was that's worrying you, weighing you down, where you can't praise the Lord, you can't do anything. Huh? You can't magnify God and you all bird looking sad. Got a long face. Huh? You know, people notice in your eyes. Your eyes are sad. When you're sad and you're not happy, they notice your eyes. And your eyes are sad. Huh? So come on. You can do it right now. You can do it right now. You can repent right now. Now, you know you hold something against somebody. I don't care. It could be a runaround husband or a runaround wife. Huh? You need to forgive them. See? Now, that's hard. I know that's hard. Because you gave them your all. You gave them all of your heart, didn't you? Well, let me tell you one thing. You can give them all your heart all you want, but you better leave some of your heart for the Lord. okay? Keep some of your heart for the Lord. Don't give him all your heart now, because then you ain't got no space for Jesus, okay? But I want you right now to just call so you can get that release. Pardon me. You can get that release right now in your spirit from a lot of things that you're holding on to. And sometimes, let me say, God showed me one time, years ago, it's been several years ago, and I was at my mother's house in New York and sitting there, you know, just sitting there, and he said that he was going to take me back into my past. And I wanted to know why he was taking me in my past. I don't want to know nothing in my past. I buried that, you know. And he said there was things that I needed to settle that had not been settled in my past that I had inside, but I have a habit of bottling everything up and closing the cap on it. That's a habit I have doing. And he told me that. I said, oh, Lord, no, Jesus, I don't want to go there. Oh, help me, God. But he took me there because that's what he said he was going to do. And he took me there. There were so many things that I had forgotten about that I needed straightening out. I need to get them right. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to ask a whole lot of things I needed to do. See? All of that I was carrying around for years, and no way to know what it was. And all it was the things in the past that happened to me and things people done to me, and I just put a cover on it and go on by my business and keep on magnifying God, glorifying God. But see, sometimes these things are happening to people, and most people of today, nobody wants anybody to know this happened to me, that happened to me, the other thing happened to me, and I had this problem and that problem. So you had a problem. Who solved the problem? Jesus solved the problem, don't he? All right then. So why you want to carry it? If he carried all of this, this burden on the cross, all of this was on him, now why are you carrying it? Why you picked it up and carried it? Huh? So today is your day of release. You and you. Today is your day of release, and you do need to call and just let us know. Come on, we'll pray with you about it if you want to get released. If you don't, well, then there's nothing I can do with it. I guess you carried on a little bit farther, won't you? Till it bogged you down, and you next thing you know, you'll be standing in a hole. And you'll be saying, what would you be saying? Help! I'm falling, and I can't get up. See? That's the next thing you will be saying. Now you need, I want somebody to help me get out of this hole. Help me get out of this hole. We try to keep you from falling in it. You see, we try to. But people are hard-headed and hard-hearted today. They don't want to hear it because everybody thinks they're perfect. Everybody feel like they're super saved and they're, what do you say, the Powerball and, you know, hero and the Superman and the Batman and all these other men. Now they got the Black Panther man. You know, now. You know, everybody want to be that now. What if you're going to be what God called y'all to be? Huh? Are you going to continue to let Hollywood dictate what you should be and you're supposed to be a Christian? That's just your entertainment. It's not for you to go pattern out after him. Then these things become idols to you. And you begin to worship and you teach your children how to worship these things and these images. And you say you ain't got nothing to ask God to forgive you for. Huh? Because you're teaching somebody else to do the same thing. You should have no other gods before me. That's what he say. He say he's a jealous God. So what you going to do with that? Hmm? See, see how easy it is to get into a place where you need forgiven and you need to forgive? Huh? You see how easy it is? Very easy. To begin worshiping idols, it's easy for you to do that. To say, forgive me, Lord, because I done gone off the deep end here. Huh? If you're a Christian person, don't let yourself be caught up in allowing somebody to dictate your life to you or what you should be or who you want to imitate now. Don't imitate nobody but Jesus. That's where who you go after, because you was already made in his image and his likeness. Because there is, man, when I read the rest of this, Jesus said, the 23rd verse, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know. Listen what he say. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, what kind of work you going to do here? You want to get released from the bondages of unforgiveness? Huh? Do you want to do that today? Whatever your sin is? I know we so busy hollering about drink and smoke all the time. We don't think about these other things. That is sin. It can make you go to hell, cause you to go to hell too. You get the picture? Y'all got it, didn't you? Praise God. You got it. All right, that's it. You don't want to cause everybody in your house to go to hell because of you. Amen. You don't want your children to go, do you? I don't want none of them to go. You don't want nobody, sister, your brother, amen. Huh? Oh, it should be no today. But I'm still trying to make a plea to you today. Come out of that darkness into the marvelous light. Come on out into the marvelous light. And let's talk about it. Now, this is what we say, ain't it? It's time to talk about it, right? Amen. Well, why don't you come on and let's talk about it? We're waiting for you. Just for you today. All right, now you know the number is 347-873-9925. You can give a call. We'll be waiting to hear before we go off the air today, okay? Well, we're going to let our own Deacon Michael.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that wonderful word from Pastor Dungy and also Apostle Porter. You know, when we be dealing with this unforgiveness, forgiveness, and it all comes back to repentance, you know, it's like a vicious cycle that can get better. But we have to do that. We have to put our fourth in and get in there. And I like the story when she was saying Jesus repented. Jesus was going to repent, or did repent, Jezebel after all that she did. Now, if Jezebel can get repentance, then you and I can. Think about that. Think about all these people that need to be down there getting repentance, but it seems like after things go so bad, then they want that. And then when you're dealing with other people and when you're dealing around with others, as Pastor Dungy say, you done, everybody done forgot what had done happened, but you want some repentance, so you want to bring it up because it's in there somewhere. I mean, sometimes I believe you just let it ride. You're speaking, you okay now, so everybody done forgot what done happened. So you continue on, you move on. I mean, that's what I would do. But I'm just saying that, you know, everybody has their own thing going on. Everybody has something that they want to or that they have to do. A lot of times it's a family member, friend, or used to be friend, however you want to call it. that has one or two of those that we got to ask for forgiveness, or, you know, we don't bother with or something like that, then, well, hey, you know, I had to tell them I don't run in your circles, or I try not to run in their circles. You know, I've already asked for forgiveness. That don't mean I have to run in the same circles they run in, because we don't believe in the same thing. If they believe in sinning and I believe in Jesus, that ain't going to work. You know, because somebody got to pull somebody. You know, so we got to watch what we do, watch what we say, learn from our mistakes, learn how we can still come up and get into Jesus. And also, we need to think about that repentance. We need to seriously think about that. We need to look down in ourselves, as apostles say, to find out, where do you stand? Where you at? Where am I at? You know, I think about these things. You know, I do think about these things a lot. Maybe I'm thinking too much sometimes. But I do think about these things a lot. Should I not? You know, we all have this thing in our mind that sometimes we say, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? So what do we need to do? You know, and we always have them questions. You know, one morning I was standing in front of the kitchen and had completely forgot what I was going to do or what I was finna do. I mean, I was just spinning around in the circle. So I say, Lord, what was I doing? I had to ask God on that one, you know. Then I have to ask God, am I losing it? You know, I have to talk to him all the time, you know. I have to get my point across. Now, I'm sorry, y'all, but I have to get in there. Because, you know, God is so awesome, he'll help you out. The Spirit will help you out, you know, but we got to ask. If we don't ask, what's the word? We have not because we ask not. And that's the bottom line. If we don't open up our mouths, our hearts, to ask God, we get nothing. Let's use our Lord and Savior the right way. Stop trying to flim-flam God. You know, because there's a lot of people try to flim-flam God and try to flim-flam the people. Now, I want to know, is that the true word of God? No. God ain't tell you to get out there and try to flim-flam everybody in the name of God. You going to hell doing treacherous things in the name of God. I don't want to be caught in that situation either. And be caught up in that. Now, I can tell them people that I forgive them for what they do and the lies they tell, and you call them, we used to call them con artists, flim-flammers, whatever you want to call them. But they're running rampant. They're all over the place. They're in the church. They're in the stores. They're all over the place. There's always somebody trying to get over on you. There's always somebody trying to get over on the church, too. So we got to look at that. We got to pray for these people. We got to forgive these people and hope and pray that they can forgive themselves and repent of their misdeeds. Because we got so many people running around out here. I don't know what's going on today, but it's a lot of people who don't want to even come to church. It's people we talked about last night that I said it's some people who say, oh, I'm burning in hell. I'm going to hell. I know I am. Well, do you want to change your situation? Or that's just where you want to go at? Do you think hell is a playground? No, it's not. But the thing is, this is people's mentality these days. You know, so they've let the devil come in and just take them over, just take their minds over. You know, why I don't know. But they give the devil room to move. But, you know, it does say this in the Bible about these things that are coming forth. All these things that are being shown to us, all these things are right there in front of us. All we can do is forgive, ask God to forgive these people, and can these people understand what they are doing and understand that God will show them the light. God will lead their path in the right direction, but a lot of them just don't want to come. They just let the devil do it. Then you got the ones that's out there worshiping this and worshiping that and worshiping this. I mean, come on now, starting to get ridiculous. You know, from the atheists, then you got these people last year just opened up a church talking about the church of the marijuana. You know, these people just done lost their minds. Yeah, these people just done lost their minds. They are just so far out there on a limb, I think they done got too much monkey dust spread on them or something. But a lot of times people want to do these things for a write-off on taxes or a 501c3 so they don't pay taxes for this and for that, you know, but it don't make no sense. But everybody talk about their rights. When they're doing this stuff, to me, they're making a mockery out of the true religion, out of God. They're not just making a mockery out of the laws and things, all the laws and stuff, but they're making a mockery out of the true religion, the true God. That's what they're making a mockery of. All we can do is tell these people that y'all need to repent from this foolishness. Y'all need to quit from all this foolishness that y'all doing. Y'all need to get off that bandwagon of the devil, because that's where you're at. That's where you're headed to. But you know, we can do it and we can withstand if we stay together as Christians. If we don't stay together, we're going to be just as lost as they will.
That's right.
We're going to be out there on a limb too. Yeah. You know, and we're not going to know what happens, when it's going to happen. So why don't you get yourself together? Why don't we get our souls right, get ourselves together? Feel the power of God in your life. That's the good thing about it. Feel the power of God in your life. God will repent. God will show us the way. He'll make it easy for you, but we make it harder than it is. We the one do that. We make it harder than what it is. Man does that to himself. Then we want to be analytical and we want to know what Jesus' DNA is. And things of that nature. Jesus is Jesus. When Jesus want to reveal himself and when he come back, then you can poke your mouth out and look crazy because you ain't ready. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's time to get ready now because there's too many things going on in this life. Too many things. So what I'm saying today is repent of your sins, each and every one of us, on a daily basis, because sometimes we don't know where our mind takes us at. So we need to learn to repent on a daily basis. Because we don't know if someone make us mad. You know, a lot of times people will tick you off, and we run off, and our minds run off with, I ain't talking to them. Oh, forget them people. I hope a car run over them. All kind of stuff run through your mind. So we got to repent daily. We got to ask the Lord to forgive us for our thought pattern also. Because, see, a lot of times our thoughts will get us in trouble. So we need to come to the conclusion that we need to be on the side of God. Get ourselves together. Get with the program. We all need to stay there and get there. So here's Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That was an awesome word coming from Pastor Dungy, Apostle Porter, and Deacon Michael. the forgiveness from the heart. I tell you, you have one that's the carry that emotion that pumps the blood, and you got the God factor. I tell you, when both of them is in sync, you truly forgive from the heart. And it doesn't matter whether they said they forgive you, they accept your forgiveness or not. Know that you got it off of you, and now it's between them and their God. Knowing that you truly ask them for forgiveness and you forgive them as well. Don't just say, yeah, I forgive you. But when you see them again, or, you know, maybe they might, you know, make you mad or whatever, and then you bring it back up. No. Stuff like that, do you truly forgive? So, you know that as God forgive us for our sins. You heard the story about the where the king had forgiven the servant his debt, but he did not forgive someone else. You know, we have to look at that. Don't pick and choose who you're going to forgive, who you, you know, going to beg pardon to. Because if God have to say, well, you know what, not today, I'm not going to forgive you and you on your dying bed, then what? If some of us think about stuff like that, you know, what would God do if I was in that situation, you know? Just today, have a repentant heart, forgive from the heart, and know just like you want God to forgive you, forgive others as well. I want you to save the date, which is this Saturday, February 24th. We have the Men of Issachar at the City of Victory. We ask that you come on out, have a good time in the Lord, and hear the awesome word that is coming forth on that day. That's February 24th at 10:30 a.m. at the City of Victory. And that address is 313-25-CR-437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. Again, that's 313-25-CR-437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. That's this Saturday, February 24th at 10:30 a.m. Join us every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. If at any time during the broadcast you just feel led to accept the Lord, or you have a question, you have a praise report, just go ahead and press that one button, and we'll be happy to lead you to Christ. You can also join us on blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. It's some awesome listening. And by chance, the broadcast has touched you, or, you know, the woman of God been praying for you and you would like to send a donation to the woman of God, or even say, woman of God, I would like to just pay for the broadcast, you can go ahead and you can send your donations to the City of Victory, P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. That's P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. Or you can go to our website at LogianInternationalMinistries.com and hit the donate button and make your donation there. Again, that's LogianInternationalMinistries.com, and that's LOGION InternationalMinistries.com, and hit that donate button. And know that no donation is too small or too great. So today, be blessed and pray that you tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is.
When I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things
start happening.
Struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. Yeah. Let go and let God.